Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The show kind of stinks.
Was there anyone sexier than Simon Le Bon in the 80s? And the answer is no.
On that boat, as they're going through, God knows, probably the English Channel.
Between Simon Le Bon and Nick Rhodes.
Who's Nick? Is he in Duran Duran too?
Oh, yes, he, yes.
I know Simon Le Bon yes. is. Even I had a crush on him when I was a kid. When he was telling me something about Rio, I don't even know what he was, something about walking in the sand or something, I don't know.
Her name is Rio, and she's dancing in the sand.
Well, I don't know where she was because I was looking at his face because he's a good-looking cat. That's what I know.
All right, listen to this. My husband just sent me this from the Missouri General Assembly.
Oh, man, they're busy today.
They have approved State Representative Jay Mosley's legislation. Wait for it. To protect the identity of lottery winners. State Rep Jay Mosley has taken an important step to protect lottery winners from unwanted attention. It was given overwhelming bipartisan approval and is now on the way to the governor's desk to be signed into law. For those of you wondering, in Kansas, if you win the Powerball, you do not have to stand there with the check and give your name, and then people are calling wanting to be your best friend.
You don't in Kansas?
You do not.
Okay.
In Missouri, your name is released.
You got it. Do you have to stand with the check or do you
just get your name released? Just, and several states, it's not that many, allow you to remain anonymous. I looked this up, Scott. It's 11 states, and then Missouri will be 12 states if the governor signs it. 11 states allow you, when you win the big one, to remain anonymous. Arizona, Delaware, Georgia, Kansas, Maryland, New Jersey, North Dakota, Ohio, South Carolina, Virginia, and Texas. The thinking is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I know enough about this to be dangerous.
Okay.
That to protect the sanctity of the process, you know, lottery and gambling is all heavily regulated.
As it should be.
So that you actually have a chance to win, all that stuff. To protect the sanctity of the process, they want the winners to be known.
Well, can't like, you
like, my
do
name
that?
Is Scott Parks. I yeah. was the winner. I did win. So that someone at the lottery, so that someone at the lottery office couldn't say, we had a winner last night, but they don't want to be identified. Like somehow it opens or could open the door for fraud or for there really not ever being a winner if they keep the identities of the winners secret.
Well, that would be a multi-person scandal, and you'd have to bank on, no pun intended, you'd have to bank on everybody keeping their mouth shut for life.
Well, have you not watched the documentary about the McMillions sweepstakes at McDonald's?
Oh, that's right.
Where they actually one man in concert, what do they think, one or two other employees actually rigged that. So they chose the winners and they gave the winners the Boardwalk Park Place $1 million thing and right. then said, walk in and pretend like you just won. So there have been game show, quiz show, and sweepstakes fraud before. Yeah. And I think that's where the laws come from. Hmm. But answer me this. If you win the Powerball tomorrow, let's say it's just a little one, it's the $26 million. Do you honestly believe anyone would keep that anonymous?
Well, I would strangely probably not be here tomorrow.
I mean, there's no way you're going to keep that news to yourself.
Well, who would you tell?
Everyone.
You would tell everyone?
I'd be like, I'm out! I just won the lottery!
Well, I understand you'd quit your job, and most people would. You would tell everyone?
Yeah.
See, I would not.
I wouldn't tell a soul. I'd be right back in this
you
chair.
You are such a liar. My husband says the same thing. I wouldn't tell anyone. I wouldn't want you to tell anyone.
Well,
I'm like, first of all,
lying?
It's ridiculous to even have this conversation.
No, it's not.
But second of all, there's no way you just wouldn't tell anyone.
I would tell a handful of people
who would
around.
Then tell a handful of people.
No, because yes. it would be in their best interest, ka-ching, ka-ching, just keep their mouth shut.
The only way you would know is that I would pull up in a 2021 Toyota Tacoma. That would be the only difference.
You would have a brand new car, and you don't think the people around you, like your mom, would be like, what's going on?
No, because mom wouldn't be anywhere near here anymore because she would be sitting beachside in Key West somewhere in the new house I just bought her.
Same with me.
I don't think there's any way to keep news like that quiet. I don't. Now, if you live in the same house.
But you're a big mouth, with all due respect.
Oh, I would lose my mind.
It would be so obvious. You would be riding down Mission Road with the windows down going,
I won
it, bitches! I won! That lottery is mine! I made it all mine, too. Everyone would know.
Out of the top of the limo, yeah. champagne
oh
bottles.
Oh, my God. Throwing dollar bills. Go, I don't care if it's littering.
But there's a difference, I guess, between being anonymous in your own neighborhood or with your friends and truly being anonymous in the eyes of the state, where they're not going to do a news conference and say, you know, with the balloons that Scott M. Parks just won the Powerball.
Why don't you give my social security number while we're at it?
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm kidding. I guarantee you this is what I would do. And by the way, why did you say 26 million?
Because I think that's on the low, like it when it resets or rolls over, it's 25 or 26.
Okay, because I have a related story that we're going to get to here in just a second. And the jackpot is 26 million.
No way.
Yes. And I thought you were, I'm like, how did she pick that number out of nowhere? I'll get to that story in a minute. I guarantee you this, and I bet Chris would say the same thing. If I had won the lottery, okay. I would tell a very small circle of people. They're called the Circle of Six.
Mm-hmm, I am aware.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're aware because you're not in it.
Shut up.
But anyway, I would tell them, and I would continue to drive a Kia. I would continue to come into this office for a little while.
And by a little while, I mean until Friday.
Well, I would. I would not go out and get a brand new car, not right away.
Listen to this quote. The last thing we want in Missouri is for the excitement of winning the lottery to be replaced with a sense of fear because the newfound money draws unwanted attention. We have seen cases where winners are harassed and even threatened, mm-hmm. and that's something we want to do all we can to prevent. It's a simple change, but one that will protect everyone who plays the lottery.
What was that one guy?
Yeah.
Didn't
Whitaker.
He end up getting murdered
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, Bill Whitaker.
Is it Bill Whitaker?
Like, his granddaughter overdosed. He lost, gambled away, drank away a ton of it, and then I think he ended up dying.
He was murdered in his outside of his
early.
Car or something?
He was always leaving briefcases full of money around.
Yeah. Telephone number here is 576-7798.
I wouldn't do that. So, I mean, I would be smart with it.
So the Missouri General Assembly has passed this guy's bill, or they're considering it? Does the story indicate?
It has been given overwhelming bipartisan approval by the General Assembly and is now on its way to the governor's desk to be signed into law.
Which it will be, yes. I presume. Interesting. The lottery winners in Missouri could then remain anonymous. What's wrong with that? Somebody says in the text line, I wouldn't even tell my wife. Oh, come on now. Come on.
You would during tax time.
576.
Right. This says here we made $26 million last year.
What?
That's funny.
Honey, why do we owe $10 million? I don't know.
Working overtime.
Funny, my car still doesn't work.
576-7798. 576-7798. We'll grab a couple calls on this Missouri bill that would allow lottery winners to remain anonymous, and then we're going to get to some breaking news. Cats just tweeted out that the Colonial Pipeline paid the ransomware hackers $5 million. That is why the pipeline is back up and running and has been ever since last night. So we'll get to that here in just a minute. I do want to, I was telling you about the $26 million. This story out of California from the NBC affiliate. The window of opportunity is closing for the owner of a lottery ticket worth $26 million to claim the prize. The ticket was sold in Norwalk, California last November at an Arco convenience store. The California Lottery tweeting a reminder yesterday that the owner has until today.
Oh, God.
To claim the $26 million prize.
The population in Norwalk, California is 105,000.
Yep.
Would you want to know, because I wouldn't, if the deadline passes and that thing's just in the bottom of one of your old purses or in the flap of your visor of your car?
Everybody is going to the cleaning out their car today. Let's real quick grab Matt in Independence. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
We're doing well, buddy. Thank you for asking.
Hey, I was just going to say, me and my wife, we won $100,000 on the scratcher $5 ticket, and it was the main prize in it. When we went to the Missouri Lottery, they, you know, congratulated us, took the pictures with balloons and stuff, and going back to, you know, being anonymous, it made us, we actually won it at a Price Chopper that we frequent, you know, weekly. And for the next probably 3-4 weeks, my wife's picture circulated on two of those machines like every 30 seconds. So any price or any Missouri Lottery machine, they take that picture. It just
interesting.
Makes you feel a little it makes you feel uncomfortable when you're at the store.
Matt, go back. Wait. I got to ask you a couple things. Did you scratch it off or did your wife scratch it off?
Actually, I bought a $10 ticket and a $5 ticket. I scratched my $10 one and I lost. And I grabbed the ticket from her real quick while she was on the phone with her dad. And it cut my finger and it was bleeding so much that I couldn't scratch the ticket. I scratched one number and it wasn't a winner. And I just went off to the bathroom to get a Band-Aid, came back. And she says, I think we won 20 grand. So we were high-fiving each other over the 20 grand, but we forgot there was 13 other numbers left. And when I wanted to, I was going to clear it off because I didn't figure we were going to win again.
Right.
And we won another 20 and another 20, and it was 100 grand.
Okay, but was there a moment where you, like, didn't believe it? Were you like, is this real? Because, you know, there would be a moment for me where I'm like, this is not happening.
Oh, yeah. My friend across the street, I walked over to him, and I showed him the ticket, and I was like, he's like, you didn't sign the back of it. And I was like, you're not going to take it from me. I'm conceal and carry.
How much did the government take? I've always wondered that with a lottery ticket.
We got 71,000, so it was $4,000 to state and 20. I think it was 25 grand to federal.
Wow. Well, it's for the children, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not really for the children, Matt.
Well, we've been chasing that dream ever since because it was back in September of 2012.
Wow.
And we haven't hit it again.
So you basically have been giving them their money back.
Slowly.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, good to hear your voice, man. Thank you for calling in.
And congratulations. That's so exciting.
Well, there you go. It's about 29%. That's some pretty easy math to do.
Ann in Kansas City. Hello, Ann. Hello.
Hello, Ann.
Ann.
Ann was going to say it's in your best interest to remain anonymous, hire a lawyer and start an LLC, and I 100% agree. Or at least hire an accountant, a financial planner, if it's a big number.
Right. Yeah, definitely a financial planner. Let's move on to the breaking news here that just cleared from NBC News.
Speaking of big numbers.
Your thoughts on this are always encouraged at 576-7798. Colonial Pipeline. You've heard that name a lot in the last 5 days. It was their pipeline that was hacked and shut down on the Eastern Seaboard, leading to plenty of memes on your Facebook and Twitter and Instagram of people filling up plastic bags with gas. Colonial Pipeline paid the hackers who shut down some of its networks $5 million in ransom, according to U.S. officials. News of the payment was first reported by Bloomberg. The U.S. official did not say how or when the company paid. Colonial, which operates the country's largest fuel pipeline, announced it had been hacked on Friday and shut down all four of its major pipelines that serve the eastern and southeastern United States as a precaution. How does this affect me, Scott? Go gas up right now, because gas prices rose nationwide. The Department of Transportation issued an emergency order allowing truckers driving fuel in affected states to work longer hours. Airlines were having to divert their flights to areas that still had gasoline, so which is to say away from a lot of eastern U.S. cities, to gas back up and then get back into circulation. The Colonial Pipeline paid $5 million in ransom to Russian hackers.
Which the first thing people will say, when you pay a ransom, you are only encouraging the next hacker to force you to pay a ransom. And we saw this with the hospital, Scott, in the last few years, where these ransomware hackers will hack into large hospital systems and then say, if you want your patient data back, you need to pay us. Well, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
And this one's tough because, as we were talking about off the air, at some point, Colonial has to, and $5 million is a lot lower than I think most of us expected it to be, but maybe it's intentionally low by the hackers to give, to encourage you just to pay it, because $5 million to a company like Colonial is probably nothing, but to a couple of Russian hackers, it's a big deal. At some point, Colonial has to decide, are we losing more money by them keeping us shut down than we would if we just paid the damn ransom and got back to business?
And so it is a short-term solution in an emergency that is only going to create long-term problems, probably for them and other
people. For others,
people.
For sure.
So listen to this story from NBC. The FBI has historically discouraged but not prohibited American ransomware victims from paying the hackers, as payment isn't guaranteed to work, first of all, and can also encourage criminals to continue attacking others. The company did not comment when asked about the amount. They will not comment about it.
576-7798. If you guys want to weigh in, Colonial Pipeline apparently paid the Russian hackers $5 million to get out of their system and let them get back to pumping gas up and down the Eastern Seaboard in its pipelines. 576-7798. 576-7798.
On the other side of the street, I knew. Stood a girl that looked
like you. So if you're just joining us,
I guess that's,
we have some breaking news. You may have noticed when you drive by your local gas station that prices have jumped a little bit lately. In large part, it's because of the pipeline shutdown on the East Coast, Colonial Pipeline, and the company Colonial, NBC News is now reporting, did pay the ransom to the Russian hackers of roughly $5 million. They shut down their pipeline on Friday after they were hacked.
And if you go back and look, and we'll get into this after we take a couple calls here, 60 Minutes actually did a piece on this about a year or two ago. I thought it was Scott Pelley. I found it. And some of the ransom being paid out by large cities is a lot less than you think. By hospitals, $55,000. And what the ransomware hackers will say to you is, you have 7 days to pay $55,000. And if you don't, we are going to delete all of your files. And what's scary about the government systems and the hospitals having this happen is one of the hospital CEOs is talking, and basically they had to reroute all of their patients somewhere else. nothing electronic worked or could be trusted to work.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And $55,000 in the scheme of things is cheap to get it back up and running.
The cost of a hospital bed for one night.
Yeah, the incentive is to just pay it.
The FBI says cyber crooks know that governments and hospitals are likely to pay because they can't afford not to.
576-7798. Let's go to Wayne in Olathe. Wayne, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing well. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. You know, this is a real problem. It's been around for a few years, as you just talked about, and they're getting more emboldened. There's more groups. If you think of, like, Amazon has that service, there's, like, underground services where criminals can buy this kind of stuff and use it, and they're just going after bigger targets. So it used to be these five-figure sums, and now they're pushing seven figures. And you actually have to use sometimes a negotiator. So there's a whole nother business that's cropped up where you're using third parties to negotiate with these criminal groups. And really, that's probably what happened in this case, and has happened in cases.
How is it? Wait. This is fascinating. How is that even a legitimate business? That your job is to negotiate with, I don't want to say terrorists, but we've always heard you're not supposed to do that. Like, you're just not supposed to do it. And now there are people who are in the business of facilitating the transaction?
Yes, because in some cases it's a legal liability to pay these groups. And without getting too crazy or technical, you may be violating federal law by paying some of these. So one way to skirt that is that you can go around and pay through a third party. And here's the other crazy part is a lot of these companies will have a cyber insurance policy which has an extortion or ransom portion in it that can be applied to this.
So
that kind of emboldens it as well. And like you said, these companies are stuck. There's, in some cases, they can't do anything, and they may never have a way to restore. And in other ways, they make gobs of money, and they just want to pay it because it's cheaper for them to pay the ransom than to take the time to recover.
And it says here, and you may have mentioned this in your introduction, Wayne, that you're a director of cybersecurity somewhere. Don't say where, though. Is it possible, let's use the example that Dana had earlier regarding the 60 Minutes where the cyber terrorists, whatever you want to call them, told this company, you have 7 days and we want $55,000. $55,000 for a hospital organization is probably pretty darn cheap. However, in those 7 days, is it possible that the hospital could bring in IT experts and figure out the hack, beat the hack, or is it just a fool's errand to even try?
A lot of times it's a fool's errand because they will use encryption techniques that are difficult to break. They keep them fresh. And so you'd have to have either some kind of insider knowledge or, in some cases, some of the older ransomware gangs had done so many that they got enough samples that they could figure it out and crack it.
Good.
But now they just keep it fresh, and it's almost impossible.
By the you-know-whats.
They've got you, yeah. And now what they do is they do this double extortion where they'll say, hey, if you don't pay, we're going to go ahead and release this database with all this private information, or we're going to go ahead and sell it to the high bidder and put a bunch of it out there. In fact, the group that got the pipeline has a website with its prior companies that it's breached and extorted. And it has a listing of, hey, here's how many gigs of data we have. Here's the type of data here. And they'll even give samples sometimes, depending on the group.
Wow.
So I mean,
and then you're going to be sued. Then you're going to be sued by your customers or client base. And so it does force you into this corner, Scott. What choice do you have?
Let me ask you this, Wayne, and then we got to move on. We got a full board on this. Why is it not possible? We know that the hackers came from Russia. We know that much, right? At least publicly, we know that much. Why?
Well, they
go ahead.
I would say they theorize that. I don't think they know just yet, but they theorize because Russia typically gives a safe harbor, and the malware they use typically looks for Russian characters or whether you're based in certain countries in that area, and then it won't actually run.
Okay. So anyway. Is it possible? Because you're talking to two people in this room who barely know how to get onto their own Facebook. Is it possible through computer, whatever you guys use, to pinpoint a location where these hackers would be. And I don't know, maybe a bomb accidentally fell in their building or something.
So that's a great question. There's a lot of talk about hacking back or attribution, and that's very difficult because they can jump through different areas in the world, different computers. A lot of times you can figure out who they are by their kind of their personality, let's say, the way that they'll maybe write their code or talk or some of the characters they use, but it is very difficult to do attribution or do what's called hack back. That's the problem here. The same group put out a political notice. Basically, they put out a system that says, hey, we're apolitical. We're just in this for the
money. Wayne, thank you for the call, man.
Very, very intelligent call. Thank you for it. So you asked, why don't cities or hospitals try to figure this out, okay? The city of Atlanta did just that. The hackers got to the city of Atlanta, hacked into their 911 system. Police calls weren't going through correctly. Like, you know, you've got to figure that out,
life
right?
Life and death, yeah.
So Scott Pelley asks one of the Atlanta city council members, like, how much did they want? What were you going to do? This hacker group demanded $50,000, he says, and Atlanta refused to pay. The court system went down, some of the police system went down, and still Atlanta refused to pay. Instead, the city of Atlanta spent more than $20 million to try and recover the data on its own. It took months, and 7 years of police dash cam video was never recovered.
Is that right?
So you can pay $50,000 or you can pay $20 million on a hope that you might get some of the data back, and even then...
On a principle. I'm not going to sit here and say just pay the damn ransom, but when they shut down parts of your 911 system, I can imagine the people of Atlanta are screaming,
"Yeah,
my mom is dying of a heart attack," and they're sending the ambulance to the wrong place because you've been hacked.
Yep.
Fix it. Pay your I'll pay the $50,000.
Right.
We'll do a GoFundMe. Let's go to Eric in Raymore. Hello, Eric.
Hey, thank you for answering my call, man. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Hey, good. I want to comment. You know that 99.6% of those guys are never caught.
Yeah.
Never caught.
100% never caught because they're overseas.
Exactly. And it's just easy to do it. I hate to say that, but whenever you pay that ransom, you're already caught because it's too late because that's what somebody else going to try also. When you pay that ransom the first time, the second and third time, before you know you're dealing with 7-8 times that somebody's doing the same thing to you. So you might have to invest money into a tighter security system to prevent this from happening.
I agree with you there, Eric. The Atlanta hackers, by the way, they went by the name SamSam, and they hacked a ton of hospitals, cities, and towns, okay? Last year, the Justice Department said it figured out who they were. A grand jury indicted two Iranians, neither named Sam.
Oh, weird.
The FBI says the two Iranian suspects were in it for the money, not the espionage. They collected $6 million before they went quiet after the indictment. They are in Iran, where they cannot be extradited.
Well, I have no doubt that this is not politics for these folks. I mean, let's just cut down to what it's all about, the money. And I actually have a mild, just, and by mild I mean very small, that they just freely admit that. That they're like, we're not trying to change the world. We're just trying to get rich. 576-7798. Mike in Lenexa and the others, hang tight. You guys are all next. If you'll just hang on for just a second, quick break, then more of Dana and Parks. Don't forget, you can hear every hour at KMBZ.com. We podcast every minute of every show at KMBZ.com.
It kills me not to know this, but I've all but just forgotten what the color of her eyes were and her scars or how she got them. As the telling signs of age rain down.
Coming up after the top of the hour, imagine spending 22 years in solitary confinement.
And is that even legal?
This man did.
Also, a scathing new report was just released showing how the pandemic might have been prevented. And most importantly, we're going to talk about why changes need to be made now, now that we have some of this in our rearview mirror, to prevent this from ever happening again on this scale?
Yeah, and we should point out the CDC, and then we'll get to the calls, get back to the calls here in a second. But the CDC did come out today and revised its guidance regarding masks. The CDC guidance now says if you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated against COVID-19, you can go without masks indoors and outdoors. Indoors and outdoors. Obviously, businesses would still have the final say as to whether or not you can come in their store without a mask. But the CDC says if you're indoors and fully vaccinated, it's okay. We're talking about this breaking news story from NBC News. Colonial Pipeline apparently paid the hackers who shut down some of their networks $5 million in ransom. The pipeline was reopened last night. You may recall it was during the show that we announced it had just reopened. But it was not before your gas prices went up. 576-7798. The cyber attackers were, we presume, from Russia. Mike in Lenexa. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
Hey, so I actually worked, and I won't mention the names of the companies, but I worked with two different companies that both had this happen to them locally here in Kansas City. And these were small companies. So this happens, I know, on the grand scale of Colonial, but this is also happening on a pretty small scale to some local businesses. And it's the same MO as what happened to Colonial. They get into their server, they ransom the system, and to kind of echo what Wayne, the previous caller, had said, there's really no option for them except to pay this ransom. And I know one of the companies, and kind of to Wayne's point of having to hire someone to help with negotiations, this particular hacker wanted to be paid in Bitcoin. And this was about 4 years ago. And so the company ended up having to go through a broker in Texas to get transfer, you know, cash USD into Bitcoin, and then have that transferred from that broker to the ransom hacker. And they released their servers from there. So it's just insane to me that you're seeing it on this huge level, and then you're seeing it. I mean, these companies were not that big, and the amount obviously mirrored that. I think one amount was close to around 10 grand, and another one was probably right around in there.
Man.
So it's just absolutely bizarre that it just seems like there's no out for these companies, big or small.
Well, and now people are making money off of this in the weirdest ways. I can't believe there's an actual company or job description that is you negotiate as a third-party negotiator with really financial terrorists.
And, Mike, how do you find these brokers? It's not like they're in the yellow pages.
I think there was, and I don't know all the specifics, but I think there's information that I think that they were given, and I don't know if they were given it to them by law enforcement or by previous companies that this has happened to help them figure out a way to get this worked out so that they could get their servers back. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know who gave them the direction, but as soon as they did that, went through this broker, got paid within hours, they had access back to their servers 100% with no issues.
Mike, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call.
Always good to hear you.
As promised in our daily You've Got to Be Kidding Me out of Florida headline.
Oh, good.
Florida woman this week sneaked into a high school and posed as a teenager to promote her Instagram account. She's 28 years old. She sauntered into American Senior High School on Monday, carrying a backpack and a skateboard, and began handing out flyers.
Skateboard.
With her Instagram handle on it. When confronted by security, Audrey Nicole Franciski claimed she was a student looking for the registration office. But instead of going to class, she allegedly continued wandering the halls with her flyers. When security notified the administration about the potential threat on campus, she fled. It wasn't hard to find her because she had passed out flyers. Look at this ding dong.
I'm looking at her mugshot right
now. She does not look like a high school student.
Are we sure this wasn't an episode of Punk'd?
No.
Or 21 Jump Street?
No.
Something like that.
She's been arrested in her North Miami Beach home and charged with felony trespassing, misdemeanor interfering with a school, and resisting arrest without violence. She's also been ordered to stay away from schools.
Well, that's probably a good idea. hang on. Now, she was handing out the flyers encouraging people to follow her on Instagram?
Nothing quite says, I'm a high school student, like roaming through the hallways with a skateboard under one arm and a pack of flyers from the UPS store in the other.
Who rides a skateboard to school? I hear three schools.
That's your takeaway from this, really?
Well, yes. I live near three schools, one elementary, middle school, and a high school. I've never seen a kid going to school on a skateboard.
And how old was this woman?
28,
she was
Sam.
28.
Well, they probably rode skateboards back then.
All right, when we get back, 22 years in solitary confinement? That seems a bit extreme. He did it. He wants changes now, too. Get to that and much more coming up in just a moment. Here on Dane and Parks, the news is next.
I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Possibly.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.